The rest of us, I would turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and then keep your finger in James chapter 1 and 2 for this morning, if you desire to do so. Okay. Let's see. I'm assuming that most of you in the room, if not all of you, are here because you believe that Jesus is the Christ. And you believe that God is the creator of all the universe, of all of creation. I'm just going to jump out and make that assumption. I know most of y'all, and I know that what y'all believe. And we also know, because of that, because we're saved, those of us who are saved, we know that we are saved because we put our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. We put our faith in what he did on the cross. We put our faith in the work of the cross, which is the love of God, right? We talked about this morning in our Bible study. And it's kind of interesting that everything we are as Christians and everything that makes us up as believers has to do with and is centered on and found the foundation of it is faith, right? I mean, it's faith. It's not just something we do. It's actually who we are, isn't it? We are people of faith. You don't become a Christian without faith. You don't become a believer without faith. You can say, I mean, let me ask you this. Here's something. If I told y'all I was an award-winning marathon runner, why y'all snickering? Especially my wife over there. I can say that until I'm blue in the face, but nobody will believe me, right? Because for a lot of reasons. One, look at me. Now, it's not impossible for a guy of my stature to be able to run a marathon, but at the same time, ain't none of y'all ever seen me do it. In fact, I don't think any of y'all ever seen me run anywhere. Except to the barbecue. And even then, I'm going to try to drive to it, you know. So just because I say something about myself doesn't mean that it's necessarily true or the reality. And we have to be really careful about these things, because we can find ourselves falling into a trap to where we've convinced ourselves that something is true about ourselves when it really isn't true about ourselves, not genuinely. Okay? And one of the most important areas of the Christian life to evaluate in this regard is faith and what it is and who we are in respect to faith. So let's start off with this here. We're going to look in the book of Hebrews and the book of James. Okay, first off, Hebrews is a letter to some Hebrew people, and it was written, especially the first 10 chapters, as an invitation and an encouragement to come to Christ by faith. It's a letter saying, okay, things have changed. This whole thing about Jesus, this whole thing about Christ, him being the Christ and him being the high priest forever is the new way, and it's God's plan from the beginning that people would be saved by faith. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. We're going to read in chapter 11, the first three verses, what faith is according to the Bible here in a little bit. But first, I want to share this with you. I don't know who wrote this or who said it, but it's just a little short story. It says, what it's about what faith is. Three boys gave their definition of faith. One said, faith is taking hold of God. The second said, faith is holding on to God. The third said, Faith is not letting go. Now, how many of y'all know that each of those boys was right about what faith is? We're taking hold of God, holding on to God, and not letting go. When the Hebrew, the writer of this letter to the Hebrews wrote these words, the first 10 to 11 chapters, basically to sum it up, he's saying, look, the Christian life, the children of God, those who are saved, those who are His, they're all in or they're all out. There's nothing in between. You ever notice when there's a fence separating two pieces of property? You remember, you know, the little saying is like the grass is always greener on the other side. Well, some people sit on the fence, right? And that would be the in-between. Well, there's no fence to sit on, y'all, when it comes to being a believer, when it comes to having faith and putting your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. You're either in with God by faith, or you're not in with God. You're out. And it's not because God doesn't love everybody, as we mentioned this morning in Sunday school. I always love it when the Lord gets involved with our Sunday school lesson and ties it directly into what I got for you during the worship time, because I know that the Lord's doing some things around here. It's more evidence to me. It's like, okay, you know, people are out with God because they don't love God. People are out with God because they choose not to put their faith in Christ. Now, how many of y'all know that faith is not a thing you do something with? Faith for the believers, for those who are saved by the blood of Christ, is who we are. It's a lifestyle. It's how we live. We don't do anything else. Or do we? Because every one of y'all, I seen it on the tips of your lips just a minute ago. When I said we don't do anything else, all y'all were like in your mind screaming amen, but your mouth wouldn't let it come out. Because y'all know that there are times and moments in our lives where we're not really living by faith so much. Because there's doubt, there's fear, there's anxieties, there's questions, there's confusion. Life happens, right? The world, look at the world. Just look at the world, y'all. Plenty of reasons the world gives us to doubt and be fearful and to question and to be confused and to fall back. Isn't that what Satan desires for you and me? That we would shrink back and abandon our faith, abandon who we are in Christ. It's by faith that we live. It's our lifestyle. It's what we died. We died as sinful people and were born again in Christ to live the Christian life, which is a lifestyle of faith. We live by faith. I'm going to keep saying it because I want it to sink in. Before I get into the scripture, I want to read Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. I'll just read it to you. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Every single time I read that part of Scripture, I get goosebumps and the hair on the back of my neck stands up. Because, why? Because I don't want that to be true about me. I don't want it to be true about you. I don't want to show up in the presence of the Lord one day and He looks at me as a lukewarm person because I could not commit myself in faith. Because I could not trust His word. Because I did not believe Him. Especially the whole time talking about how I'm a Christian, how I'm living the Christian life. running around saying I'm a Christian, but not really being one, not really living by faith. Right? It's very possible, it's almost likely, almost guaranteed that I will never run a marathon. Right? But if I run a marathon or never run a marathon has zero impact on my eternal life. Whether or not you and I choose to live the lifestyle of faith absolutely has a direct impact on your eternal life. Now, I don't want y'all to wake up one day and find out you've been lying to yourself. I don't want to wake up and find out that I've been lying to myself. And I certainly don't want us to wake up one day and find out we've been lying to God about it all. Because you know and I know He knows. He knows way better than we do about even ourselves. We got about 3.5 weeks until we celebrate Thanksgiving on that one day that we've created to celebrate Thanksgiving, which I think is a good holiday. I think it's a great holiday. I mean, we get food for crying out loud. My question is, are we living the Christian lifestyle? Are we living the lifestyle of faith so much so that we can't help but be thankful about so many things that no one will ever get to eat because we can't stop being thankful? Are we genuinely leading the way in the world, showing people how to be thankful? I don't think it's possible to really truly be thankful to God about anything that God's ever done if we don't live by faith. Because when you don't live by faith, it's because you don't trust God and His Word. I got it written down right here on my notes. Personal confession time. Meaning, don't forget to say this. For who knows how long since I've been here, maybe a little bit before, me and the Lord have been wrestling with each other about this fact in my life. There's been a lot of time, lots happened in recent years, hasn't it? In our lives, in all of our lives, in our church, around the world. A lot has happened. I'm not special. My life ain't worse than anybody else's or even everybody else's. And there's been a lot of complaining on my part, been a lot of struggling, a lot of groaning, a lot of discouragement. There's been a lot of doubt, even some questioning, what is God doing? Is God just setting me up to fail? Some part of me thinks that's a natural thing for us, that God helps us get over. But I know for a fact, and I'm just telling y'all as your preacher, because I don't want to just come in here and lay it on you like you're the only one that's got to fix stuff. God has been gently helping me and reminding me, and it's almost like He's saying, do you believe me or not? Do you trust me or not? Are you committed to this lifestyle or not? Who are you to question the way I do things? Who are you to disagree and challenge what I do in my kingdom with my servants? I'm not saying that to y'all. I'm telling y'all what the Lord's saying to me. And my hard head is slow. And I've always believed that I have faith. And I'm a person that likes to live by faith. And I struggle and I fight to believe God no matter what it looks like in the world, no matter what it looks like in the community, no matter what it looks like here in the church or in my life. I'm constantly saying, but God would not let me fail. God would not set me up to fail. God would not do this without a reason. God is involved. And y'all know Satan's right there saying, yeah, but it doesn't really look like it, does it? And Satan will encourage us to get our emotions and our thoughts involved. Now, lifestyle of faith does not function on emotions and thoughts. The lifestyle of faith, the Christian life, functions on what the Word of God says about things. The lifestyle of faith, apparently, is a lifestyle of repentance. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful that we have opportunity to repent every time it's needed, even if it's the same thing as the last time? I was just thinking while we were sharing in communion. I go over my sins and I try to get right with the Lord, make sure there's nothing between me and Him before I come up here. And there was a time when we first got saved, we were in a church of 600 people. And when we're 600 people serving communion, I got a lot more time to talk to the Lord about my sins than I do when there's a few people like we got here. Because the guys are back up here at the table, and I'm like, I'm not done yet, y'all. You know? I'm so thankful that God doesn't give up on me because I can't get this lifestyle of faith just right. But He's also telling me that's not an excuse and it's not a reason to keep living the way you're living if you're not living this lifestyle of faith. If you're not living in faith, if you're not living by what God says, regardless of what it looks like, y'all, it's hard, isn't it? I get to choose what I focus on. You get to choose what you focus on in your life. If things are bad in your life, okay, let's acknowledge that. But let's focus on what God says about those things. Let's focus on what the Word of God leads us to do about those things. Let's focus on the presence of God in our life. Nobody on the planet can ever say God has let them down. That God wasn't faithful. You can say it, but you can't prove it. We're people that live by faith. And God is faithful. He doesn't set us up to fail. I believe if we do not live a lifestyle of faith, it's not possible to genuinely be thankful, not in a way that honors God. We can always say praise God and thank the Lord, but if our next words are grumbling and moaning and groaning about whatever situations in our life, are we really thankful? If the next words we say out of our mouth are some kind of criticism about whatever's going on in the world and woe is me and what's going on and how come the Lord's not involved, just read the book of Habakkuk. It's 3 chapters. Read it this evening. Carefully read through it. Here's a prophet of God. The whole book is a communication between him and God. And everything he saw was failure, bad. The whole world is coming crashing down. And he's wanting to know, why is God allowing this? And God, in his grace and mercy and patience, talks with him and explains to him the situation. And by the end of Habakkuk, he's over here praising God. He's over here saying, who am I to question the Lord's ways? Who am I? Praise the Lord forever and ever kind of stuff. So let's talk about what faith is right here in chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. I think it's pretty familiar for y'all who have read your Bible and studied your Bible. And some of y'all can quote it by heart because it's something that we teach a lot and something that we've memorized. We try to teach the children with this verse a lot. I think it's important. Verse 1 through 3 of chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. There's 3 words I want to look at. Assurance, hope, and conviction, right there in the first verse. Faith is, this is what the Bible says, not them 3 little boys who got it right. That's their description of what faith is that I read a little while ago. I'm talking about This is what the Word of God says faith is. Faith is the assurance of the guarantee, y'all. I like guarantees. Y'all like guarantees? Especially guarantees that come from God. Because if I guarantee you something, I'm going to do my best to make sure that guarantee is fulfilled, but I'm not perfect, y'all. But God is saying faith is the assurance of, confident of things hoped for. Hope. We have hope in Christ. We have hope for salvation. We have hope for eternal life. We have hope for the future. It's what we look forward to. It's a fact. It's going to happen. We're not hoping that it happens. That's not the right kind of hope. We have hope in it because of our faith in Christ, because of the Word of God says it's going to happen that way. It's God's plan. So we are confident in our hope, right, of things to come. The conviction of things, here's the hard part. The conviction of things not seen. Remember, Jesus was teaching the disciples one time, and he was out doing miracles and different things, and he was like, I'm not going to quote it word for word, but he was like, y'all are not going to believe until you see evidence. You just keep asking and begging for miracles just so you can believe something's true. And then he said, those who believe without seeing are the ones who will be saved. Meaning, those who have faith, those who are putting their faith in Christ, committing themselves to this lifestyle of believing God without needing proof, those are the ones who are His. This is why I was so convicted about this message. This is why I spent a lot of time repenting about my own behavior over the years. Who am I to walk around this planet claiming that I'm a Christian, and whether I do it out loud or whether it's in my mind, worrying and complaining and woe is me about all of the things that are falling apart in my opinion based on what I see. Knowing good and well, I don't often get to see what the Lord is doing around me. And then suddenly, the Lord does give me evidence of what He's been up to, and suddenly, things are great, and I'm praising the Lord. And God says, you're either in or you're out. You're either hot or you're cold, but lukewarmness will not work. He wants my lifestyle of faith even when things don't look right to me. I mean, who am I to say what's right anyway? When things don't look great, or when I don't feel good about it, or when I don't think these things are going to do things in my life, or whatever the case is, there's all kinds of reasons to shrink back from this lifestyle of faith, right? We're convinced that the conviction of things not seen. If God says He's going to be faithful, then I'm convinced, and I have firm conviction that this is the way it's going to be. And who cares what anybody on the planet says otherwise? You know, Satan will send his workers to you. Where's your God now? Where's the God you've been worshiping now? How come He don't help you with this? How come He's letting the world do that? How come He's letting these people do that? Where's God now? God ain't never done that. People, negative things keep coming at you. You get to choose whether or not you're going to participate or not. And if we're people of faith, if we're people living the faith, the lifestyle of faith, then we're not going to participate in speaking against what the Word of God is telling us. That's where verse 3 comes in. By faith, we understand. It's by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Go back to Genesis and look at the creation account, where it says the Lord spoke this into existence. And He spoke that into existence. He said this and it happened out of nothing. So just because we don't see what the Lord's doing, just because we don't feel like things are well in our life, doesn't mean God's not doing something. And here's what the Lord really got my attention. He made me aware that everything that comes out of my mouth, every thought that comes across my brain, if it doesn't agree with what God said, it needs to be dismissed. Because it's not faith. If I say to myself, well, I don't know if I'm preaching good, or I don't know if the Lord's using me while I'm preaching, I'm speaking against what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God said, blessed are the feet of those who bring the gospel. He didn't say if they're really good speakers, or if they're really well known in the world, or if they really do things just right or perfect. He said those who bring the gospel, God blesses them so that they will be a blessing to someone else. I don't even get to speak negative about my own self, y'all, if I'm living the lifestyle of faith, if I'm trusting what God is doing in my life, if I'm trusting what God is doing in the life of this congregation, if I'm trusting that God's involved in everything that's happened, good or bad, and everything in between with the life of this church, then we are people who are walking in faith, and we will be thankful for what God is doing here as we approach our Thanksgiving celebration. We'll thank God for each other. When it said in verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. They gained God's approval. Talking about all these people that we call the Hall of Faith in verse 11, chapter 11. Goes off and starts naming a bunch of people that were believed God. Abraham, Noah, and all them people. This is not New Testament. This is Old Testament. This is since the beginning of time. Those who believe God are those who have faith and those who are saved. They're approved by God. They're accepted by God. It's always been those who believe God. Do you believe God? Here's James chapter 1. Don't you love James? Me and James, the book of James, have a love-hate relationship going on. Right? Because I love James because he just tells me, I'm a kind of person, and you just need to lay it out there so I can accept it, understand it, and move on. That's what James does. James chapter 1 says this. As we talk about biblical faith, here's a faith at work. Here's your faith at work. But prove yourselves doer of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks in his natural face in the mirror, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Prove yourself. Prove yourself. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about having to prove something to God? Doesn't sound right, does it? But that's not what it says, is it? It says prove to yourself. Prove to yourself. He's talking about looking in the mirror and looking at yourself. Why do y'all look in the mirror in the morning? Why do you look in the mirror? Generally, most people look in the mirror to see if everything's in order. I hope. Some people look in the mirror for prideful reasons, but that's a whole nother Bible study. This Bible, this Word of God, is our spiritual mirror. If we don't look in this mirror, we will never see ourselves. And if we don't ever look in this mirror, it's not possible to live the lifestyle of faith. Because you won't know what to believe and what not to believe. You won't know what to put your faith in and what not to put your faith in. You won't know how to put your faith to work. You want to know how? You want to know? Here's the easiest and first clue to realize if a person, if you are not, you are or not living the lifestyle of faith. What are you doing with your life every day? That's how you answer the question. Am I living a lifestyle of faith? Okay. Well, are the things that I do every day, are they having to do with the Word of God and what the Word of God tells me and how to live my life? Does my life, when I look into the mirror of the Word of God, do I see myself or do I see something else? Many a times I've preached at funerals for godly brothers and sisters, and it's easy to preach their funerals because everything in the Word of God describes how they live their life, which shows me that they were people of faith. And it's easy to talk about those people. The hardest ones to talk about are people that rejected God, didn't want to have nothing to do with God, and didn't care nothing about putting their faith in Christ. What is there to say? Because it's too late. They're dead. They were not doers of the Word of God. We're believers because of our faith in Christ. However, because we are believers, we do. We do. What do we do? We do what the Word of God says. The Word of God says go into the world and love people. Go into the world and love people and love God. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world and have compassion. Go into the world and share God's love. Whatever you're doing has to do with who you are. Again, in James chapter 2, verse 17, y'all know this one. Y'all could quote this one without even looking at it, can't you? Faith, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. That's why y'all were laughing and snickering when I said I'm a marathon runner. There's no works there to show you that I'm a marathon runner. I'm not even breaking a sweat most of the time. Because I don't do. That's why I'm not a marathon runner. I don't run. I don't exercise. I don't stretch. I don't even think about running, if I can help it. You know how many people who think they're going to be with the Father for eternity are living their Christian life like that? They're barely going to church on Sunday, half of them. They're not studying their Bible. There's an old gospel hymn called Dust on the Bible. Remember that? That's who that song was written for. People who believe they're Christians, but they're not living the lifestyle of faith. They're not trusting God. And most of them are pretty miserable people, if you get to know them. Because the only resource they have is the world. We're people of faith, y'all. I think we should be excited about that. I think we should be praising the Lord about that. I think we should be thankful about that. Look what this says. An old Scotsman operated a little rowboat for transporting passengers. One day, passengers noticed that the old man had carved on one oar the word faith and on the other oar the word works. Curiosity led him to ask the meaning of this, and the old man said, "I'll show you." He dropped one oar and applied the other called works, and the boat went around in circles. Then he dropped that oar and began to apply the oar called faith, and the little boat just went around in circles. Get your point? I think you knew that, but I wanted to make the point. If we're living the lifestyle of faith, we're going to be overwhelmed by the abundance of reasons to be thankful toward the Lord. We'll be thankful because there's opportunities to do things that the Bible tells us to do. We'll be thankful there's opportunities to do ministry and to serve people and to love God and to love people. Every day of our life, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, there's always something. It's who we are. It's how we live. It's our way of life. Anything short of that is shrinking back. It's what motivates us to do ministry, y'all. It's what motivates us to get involved in the people in the world. It drives us into the world in such a way that we desire to do things that would show people who our Father is, that would show people what Jesus on the cross is all about, especially at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Isn't that what it's all about? And Easter celebrations. Are you living the lifestyle of faith? The answer to that question, because when I ask that question, are you living the lifestyle of faith? Every single one of us want to jump up and say, yeah, I'm doing it. Praise the Lord. But y'all know as well as I do, we have to sit down and let the Lord answer that for us. And I pray that he helps us so that we can continue to strive for this lifestyle. That question is answered by the things that we do and the things we don't do, and why we do or why we don't. All right, here we go. Finally, getting down to this here. Hebrews chapter, back in chapter 11, in verse 6, y'all. Circle this, highlight it. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your bathroom mirror. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I'm not trying to condemn us for having doubts or for being frustrated or for not seeing or for whatever emotions we're feeling. All I'm trying to do is encourage us to keep away from living in that. Keep away from dwelling on those things. Because it flies in the face of what the Word of God says about God and his faithfulness and what he wants. Because we know that God's desire is that all will hear the gospel. God's desire is that all will have the opportunity to receive Christ by faith. Go back in chapter, the last verse of chapter 10. It's on the same page. Should be on the same page in your Bible. This is verse 38, quoting Habakkuk chapter 2, as I described a minute ago. Okay, a couple minutes ago. I know I've been going a minute. He says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Again, y'all, goosebumps and hair on my neck stand up. God help me that would not be true, that I have shrunk back to the point where God has no pleasure in me. Doesn't that worry? Doesn't that get your attention? I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that for my family. I don't want it for the church here. I don't want it for your homes. I don't want it for any believer. I don't think God wants it. Faith, y'all. We believe God. We trust God. It's not an option. We're either in or we're out. And the hard thing is we can say we're in all we want to, but God knows if we really are. God knows if we're really sold out. God knows if we're really committed. God knows if we're living the lifestyle. You're young people, I don't know if it's young people or maybe I'm getting old enough now where it's not so young people. They used to call each other posers all the time. Just a poser. Just playing the part. Back in the 90s, young men would, whether they ever grew up on a cattle ranch or not, would walk around in their cowboy boots and cowboy hats and big belt buckles, driving their trucks, living in some suburb of some big city somewhere. Ain't never seen a cow in their life. But that was the style. And they were called posers a lot by the real cowboys, by the real people. And by the way, most people that I know that are cattle ranchers don't wear cowboy hats that much. Unless they're out in Texas, then everybody does. It's like a requirement out there, which I'm not against that. I've had my share of cowboy hats. We're not posers, y'all. And people come into this church looking for the truth. From time to time. They just walk in here. And they're looking for God. They're looking for the truth. They don't come in here because they're like, "Oh, I like all the cars they drive in the parking lot. I'm going to go see who those people are." That's not why they come in here. They come in here because they're looking for God, y'all. And if they come in here and find a bunch of posers who don't live the lifestyle of faith, they're going right back out the door. And they won't meet God. But if they meet people who are living the lifestyle of faith and they're trusting God and they're believing the Word of God and they're speaking truth into their own lives, into the lives of everybody around them, no matter what we see or what we think, those are the people that introduce the world to God. Those are the people that honor God and what Jesus did on the cross. You ever think about it that way? So as we approach Thanksgiving, the celebration that we have scheduled. Let's be God's people who live by faith. Let's be God's people who live this lifestyle of faith. All this happens because we simply believe God. It all happens because we simply take Him at His word. Whatever thought you have, whatever words are coming out of your mouth, whatever discussions you're having, you got to ask yourself, we have to ask ourselves, okay, is what we're talking about, does it agree with God's word? And if it doesn't, then we should dismiss it and stand in faith and believe the things that maybe we don't see. It happens because of the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. So my encouragement to you this morning is to join me in pursuing the lifestyle of faith by dismissing negative feelings that don't agree with God's word, dismissing negative thoughts that don't agree with God's word, helping each other to do that, correcting each other, calling each other out. Hey, I get that you're discouraged. I get that you're frustrated. But what does God say about this? Let's focus on what the Lord says and let's live in that. That's faith. All right, last thing. A.W. Tozer, he said these words. He's way back in the black and white days when everything was on television was in black and white. Okay. God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. Hello? You study any part of the Bible, you see God doing the impossible, or what we think is impossible. God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible, and there's a period at that sentence. If I stop right there, we're happy with it. But then he said this, A.W. Tozer added this, what a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. It's scary to do things that you don't know how they're going to turn out. You can't see the end result. You can't have some kind of evidence that this is going to work the way I want it to work or the way I think it should work. Right? The number one thing that gets in the way of my lifestyle of faith is me and my plans. Me and my ideas. Me and what I think is right or wrong. Me and what I think is the best or not the best. I don't think God gives two hoots about what I think or my plans when it comes to His ways, when it comes to what He's doing. And I don't mean because He don't love me. It's just because He's God. He's the King. He's the Father. He's Lord. I'm His. And if I'm His by faith. That's the only way to be His, by faith. It's the only lifestyle that's evident of a true believer. So join me as I press on in faith that God is faithful to me and my family. I'm inviting y'all. Join me as I press on in faith that God is faithful to Oak Grove Christian Church. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. Doesn't matter who said what or what's going on or what ain't going on. God is faithful. Join me as I press on in faith that God is faithful to what He promised that He would do when we go out into the world for this community. Sometimes we don't do what we say we're going to do. Sometimes we don't even do what we want to do when it comes to going into the world and making disciples. Sometimes it's because we're scared that it won't work out. We might get rejected. It might not work. Well, let me just give you a clue. Jesus said that it won't work a lot of times. Jesus said you will fail a lot of times. And Jesus said they will hate you because they hate me. And then He still said to go do it. It takes faith. It takes faith. Sometimes we find ourselves in the and the things that we perceive are not going well or are not how we think they should be. But it's by faith that we proceed on and trust God, paying attention to His Spirit according to His Word. We're doing well here, y'all. We're doing well. I believe that with all my heart. And I've said this to a few people already, but in the last 5 years since I've been here is all I can talk about. We've had 7 people get baptized, give their life to Christ. That don't seem like a lot to a lot of people. If we had 600 people in our church and only 7 people were to be baptized in that amount of time, I'd be a little discouraged about that. Because that's not a very big percentage, is it? But let me just explain this to you so that you can be encouraged. As far as I know to date, as far as I'm aware, and I may be off by one person or two that I don't know about, every person that's been in this church for any amount of time who didn't know Christ as Lord and Savior has been saved in the last 5 years. Every single person that did not know the Lord and stayed long enough to hear the gospel, stayed long enough to develop relationships and be loved on by this church, they have eventually given their life to Christ. That's 100%, y'all. Praise the Lord. That's a good time for y'all to interrupt the sermon and praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? We're not doing bad. God determines what goes on around here. And God determines how great it is. And we have to stop measuring God's success by our measuring sticks. We have to be people of faith. We have to trust God. I love you and the Lord loves you. I'm going to lead us in a song of invitation. If you're not saved, if I'm wrong about that, or if somebody's here that's not usually here that's not saved, now's the time. The Bible just teaches, the Word of God says to be saved. It says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, commit your life to Christ by confessing your sins, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, and then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what it says. That's what the Word of God says, so that's what we teach. And it can be done any moment in your life. You're not saved until you put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross. You're saved by the work that Jesus did on the cross. Everything that I just described to you, faith, repentance, confession, baptism, those are all works. They're works that happen because you put your faith in Christ. And everything about your Christian life after that is a work. Everything we do after that is a work. And it's evidence of our faith. Amen? We're going to sing a song. What song are we singing this time? Are we washed in the blood, y'all? Let's stand together. We're going to sing. If you have a decision to make, put your faith in Christ, now's the time to do it. If you got another reason to come down here, now's the time to do it while we're singing. Let's stand together and we'll sing. Go ahead.